Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules.
We're a conversational podcast about various topics like mom life, relationships, body positivity, and what's trending.
We are women supporting women through chit-chat and laughs.
We promise to be candid, relatable, and best of all, we're not afraid to laugh at ourselves.
So thanks for joining us. Enjoy. Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. I am Nicole, admin for the Enraged Woman Facebook group, and joining me today again is Miss Shiva, my friend and talented interior designer. Hey, Shiva.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're able to chat again with me and we can expand more on, you know, home fashions and organization and stuff like that.
Of course. Always fun to be here with you.
Good. Thank you. So we always like to kick off the podcast episode with what lipstick you're wearing. So.
Well, I have the Burt's Bees again, which I mentioned last time.
Good. A favorite.
Yes. This is a classic because it just feels so nice and buttery without having to be all, you know, very formal. Mm-hmm. And this color is rhubarb. It's called Burt's Bees Lip Shimmer, and this color is rhubarb. And the cool thing about it is it has kind of a little fresh taste, like, it basically makes you feel like you just brushed your teeth.
Okay.
So it's really good in the morning when you're running out of the house to take the kids to school. Put this on, your lips don't feel dry, and it has a little bit of a tint, so you feel a little put together.
Okay, so it has like a minty taste and smell to it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's perfect.
That's
it's like a dual purpose.
Yeah, and it wakes you up too.
Okay, good. Well, it looks great. It's got this like rosy look on your lips. It looks natural, and it looks beautiful on
you. Thank
you. Mine is actually dry. You know, I love the matte, dry type lipstick. I always get the liquid lipstick. Mm-hmm. And you know, my favorite brand is ColourPop, but today it's the color I'm wearing is called More Better.
Oh.
So I am More Better today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And it's kind of like this bright fuchsia color, I think. Mm-hmm. It's purpley. I intentionally bought it thinking it would be a more deep, dark purple, but mm-hmm. it's brighter and pinker, which is fine because I don't usually buy this. So,
So
I like it. It's ultra matte lip, so it stays on for a long, long time. And, you know, you could eat with it, you know. It doesn't smear. It's really long lasting, and ColourPop is the bomb. So
looks really good.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I was going to say you could always make the color deeper with a pencil later. You could always I always like to modify my lips with pencils. So a lot of times when somebody asks me what color is that, I can't really tell them. I just say it's a combination of this lipstick, this pencil,
or even two lipsticks together.
And then the gloss.
Okay.
And sometimes the gloss has a different tint, but somehow all together they work.
Uh-huh. And it makes the perfect color. You kind of customize your own lip color.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I like that idea. Maybe we'll get into that later in future episodes on how to mix your colors. Because I do that when I'm, you know, nervous about the color I put on and I didn't expect it to be that way, then I just add something else and it always looks better.
Mm-hmm.
So, sounds good. Yeah, yeah. So today we're going to discuss more home stuff, specifically organizing, because the last time we chatted, we were talking about home fashions and design, which was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Your home is so gorgeous. But the troubles that I run into with my home in any room is organizing and maximizing the space that I have, which isn't very large, but I want to be able to make it look good and be functional. So I thought to ask you a lot of questions.
Sure.
I know that there are some people out there that have theories and methods, like on Netflix, there's these two guys and I don't know their names, but it's called Minimalism.
Okay. I think I saw that documentary a while ago, like, I don't remember it exactly because it was a few months ago, but I do remember that I liked some of their
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was very, it's, I mean, it's different than us because, you know, it is men. So mm-hmm. they do require a more simple type of lifestyle. Their needs are different.
And yeah. They're not married or, you know, living mm-hmm. with a spouse or something. So their needs are different and they can be, let's say, the minimal aspect. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to mention the minimal aesthetic. In theory, is a very wonderful thing because it clears your mind. You know what you have. But the thing is, it's not very practical for, you know, suburban living. Yes. Let's put it out there. Okay. Or like just basically suburban living, even if you're in the city, that concept of family, because you've got a lot of stuff. I mean, when you mm-hmm. have 3-4 people in the house, you're going to have a lot of stuff that you need. But the concept of minimalism, of thinking about your stuff, whether or not it's useful, it serves a function, even if the function is admiring its beauty, per se, mm-hmm. you should put that into consideration and think critically when you're about to go purchase something. Think, does it fit into that category of, do I like it? Is it useful? So minimalism doesn't always have to be, you know, an art gallery look where all you have is a bench and a floor and
yeah.
a wall, you know.
Right.
You can have the stuff you like, but everything has to be serving a purpose.
Okay. I like that. I mm-hmm. like that you say that because it could become a little overwhelming when you watch it and afterwards you're geared up to become a minimalist, but then you realize you can't.
But if you do like that pared down look, it really depends on how your home is set up and what your life is like, but you can dedicate, you know, one or two rooms, depending on how much you can afford to dedicate, to actually having that look.
Okay.
Where the other rooms can still store the things that you need. You know, like if you have, let's say, a sunroom, that sunroom can be kind of like your minimal room where all you have is a bench and a painting on the wall, and you can just kind of sit there and meditate or
okay.
whatever thing
wow.
you need
sounds
to do.
Wow, sounds so relaxing. I wish I had that.
Yeah, or even you can okay. make a little corner
right.
like that. You know?
Okay.
But you have to be mindful.
Something that you can look at and get some peace from.
Yes, because in the busy days, we always need a moment back to ourselves to just kind of gather our thoughts, you know, when the famous polymath, you know, thinker Rumi always says, like, silence is important.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have his actual quote on me, but basically he just says you get all the answers when you have a moment of silence.
Okay.
Because your mind,
I love that.
You know, you have to clear your mind and then you have the ability to function
yes.
for the rest of the day.
That's good. And then one of the concepts that they started off with in that documentary is that, I guess, more specifically Americans in general, although the world does, you know, consume, but we are kind of like a shopper nation.
Oh, yeah.
So we get a lot of our, you know, our high or our gratification from that temporary satisfaction of buying something.
Yes.
So then we end up storing and collecting things that we don't necessarily need.
Yeah, well, our lifestyle is kind of like designed that way. The universal lifestyle of at least living in America, because that's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go, you're bombarded with advertisements. Like, you know, you have billboards on on poles when you're driving down the street. You have mm-hmm. it at the bus stop. You have it on walls of buildings, and then you're in the car, you have like a block of commercials on your favorite radio station, mm-hmm. unless you're listening to public radio. And then, you know, you come home and you have commercials on the TV if you watch regular TV, but if you have Netflix, obviously, you know, you don't
right.
watch that. But certain other programs like, you know, Hulu, IMDb, or those other ones, they still have advertisements.
Sure. And luckily, online, if you're, you know.
Yeah. Or like you can't scroll Instagram or Facebook without being, you know, having a lot of sponsored ads. Although some of them are small businesses, which are kind of welcome. But most mm-hmm. of them are the big corporate businesses that are always advertising constantly. And sometimes you get the same ad constantly that you have to just tell Facebook, hey, I don't want to see this ad
yes.
anymore.
Yes.
So So we're at this point where, you know, we have, our mind is almost getting conditioned that yes. we have to just buy more, you know, or like there's gadgets that become popular, but you don't really need it because you, if you just think about the basics, you know, for let's say the kitchen is a big culprit. You know, mm-hmm. they sell all these gadgets for cutting vegetables where all you need is a knife and a cutting board.
Yes.
Because, you know what? Those things are visually cluttered. Mm-hmm. Kitchens are, most suburban kitchens don't have that many cabinets or even a nice pantry mm-hmm. to put stuff. So why would you fill your house with different colors of plastic utensils, stuff made in China that's not good quality, it's gonna break in 2 seconds. You know, mm-hmm. think when you see an advertisement for a gadget, think several things. Just think, do I really need this? Do I have the space? Am I going to get by without it?
Yes.
You know, just the basics, you know, for thousands of years, we didn't need these things.
Right.
So now why do we need them?
Right. You know? And it's funny because you see, you know, either on Pinterest or online, the gadget commercials, and I realize if I buy that gadget that looks so appealing at the time, I realize it actually takes me much longer to do the cutting of whatever vegetable or fruit, and then I have to wash the gadget.
Yes.
And the gadget washing is much more intricate with the little different parts and stuff versus
yeah.
just a knife that would take a lot shorter time to cut and clean.
Now, don't get this mixed up with certain utensils in the kitchen, because it depends on everybody's lifestyle. If you do a lot of cooking, you're going to probably need stuff to kind of shorten your load of work.
Mm-hmm.
So, or like around, if you always host Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, and you need something to help you work quickly, that's different. Like food processors and mm-hmm. blenders, obviously you need those.
Sure.
But what I'm talking about are those as seen on TV things.
Yes.
You know, the
like the banana cutters.
Yeah, the banana cutter, apple cut. Like, dude, you have a paring knife and a cutting board.
Right.
What else do you need?
Exactly right. I totally know? Agree with you. And I am guilty of buying a few of the gadgets, but the mm-hmm. gadgets just stay in the drawer.
Yeah.
I don't end up, I maybe use them in the beginning and then I don't end up using them again because I don't want to have to really wash it.
Yeah, I mean, know? I appreciate that people want to make your life easy. And then you think about that and you buy it and you use it and you're like, oh, this will make my life easy. You use it. Once you use it, then the reality sets in like, oh, this thing is a little cumbersome. Why mm-hmm. did I buy it? But now I used it and I can't return it. And now it's going to go in the shelf and you're never going to use it again. And now that space that is necessary for storing things is occupied by this junk that you don't want to throw away because you
right.
bought it.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I really agree. So what are some steps that we could take to organize our spaces in our homes? Like what is the flow of things?
Well, as always, before taking any action, always it's very important to sit and create an action plan. And all you need is a piece of paper and a pen and your brain. And just think about your needs and your life. And just jot down ideas, jot down lists, excuse me. Like, and tackle it room by room, just to get your ideas down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you just want to focus on the kitchen, it's actually a good thing because it's kind of like one consolidated area that is different from the rest of the house. So you can think about all the things that you use in the kitchen, all the things that you think are helpful in the kitchen. You write down a list of what you need. And then that's when you can go shopping. If you have a pantry, think about how you can organize the pantry. Some people are lucky that they have those walk-in pantries that have the shelves. So if you have that situation, think about each shelf is the most valuable real estate. It's like New York. You
mm-hmm.
know, you have to think every little, you know, inch has to be something, has to be utilized. And,
okay.
and don't forget about vertical space because that's part of the volume of
okay.
your space. So think about like each shelf. You can have the primary use items can be on the eye level shelf. You can sort. And oh, yeah. When you're writing down everything, sort everything by like items. So in the kitchen, You know, think about your pantry, like, you know, where are you going to put your food? Where are you going to put your large appliances? Because I'm not a fan of cluttered counters. Mm-hmm. And my counters are a little bit cluttered because of necessity, because I don't have that kind of pantry mm-hmm. or big space. But think about, you know, long-term storage, really quick grab-and-go storage, and utensil storage, kind of make it into like a little utensil garage and one shelf dedicated to that.
Okay.
And then when you have your list ready, that's when you know the types of organization tools that you need to buy, such as bins and baskets. One key thing to remember is never go and buy organizational tools before you create an inventory of the stuff that you need. Okay. Because what's going to happen is those organization tools that you had a good intention of, they're going to create clutter because you bought them without a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you have a plan, then you know what size you need, what shape you need, what orientation you need. But if you do it the other way, it's basically you're buying it blind and you're guessing. And then you're going to put stuff in it, but it's not going to work. It's not going to be appropriate.
I think that's such a good tip because we kind of get lured into the shopping part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see so many cute things if you're just out and about in life and you're at a store and you see, oh, I love that pattern or I love that color. I can put this, that, and the other inside of it.
Yes.
But realistically, you have to know you can before you buy it.
It's important not to be impulsive in this case. And it's also important to remember that there's never going to be a shortage of it. So if you don't buy it, it's not like you're never going to buy it again. You're not in a desert island.
Yes.
You know, it's always going to be.
And yes.
You never know. By the time you're ready to buy it, a better thing might come.
Oh, sure.
So one thing that I kind of have a rule of thumb in my head is I love everything. My rule of thumb is let the store be my storage area. So that when I need it, I'll go to the store and get it.
Okay. You know? That's good because it's off-site.
Yeah.
You're not buying something and storing it if you don't need it. And, you know,
it's
good. That's a good rule of thumb.
Yes.
It's like having your own storage unit.
Yes.
Okay.
Going back to the kitchen concept, if you're like me, you don't have one of those lovely walk-in pantries. I have just a cabinet mm-hmm. and this cabinet has pull-out drawers, but they're not really utilizing the space in the cabinet as well, you know, a lot of dead space. So what I did was I put wire racks in the garage and I use that as kind of like backup pantry for stuff like cans. And when I go to Costco, so I can't put everything in the house. So, you know, toilet paper, paper towels, cans, you know, bulk boxes of snacks for school and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those go in there. You know, in retrospect, you know, a closed door cabinet could also be utilized and probably preferred because that way you don't see the visual clutter mm-hmm. and the things don't get dusty or exhaust on them.
Sure.
But what I keep in the garage, just as an example, is, like I said, the cans, maybe extra bags of pasta, water bottles,
mm-hmm.
Large cereal that is not opened. I mean, obviously don't put open food out there because you don't want critters.
Right, yes.
Which also, the cabinet option helps, but still don't put open stuff in there. Just use the backup stuff there.
And then I noticed in a lot of homes that I see that I like, the packaging is removed, like inside. So either in the kitchen or the bathroom, mainly in the kitchen because we're talking about that, you'll see it's the snack or food item is out of the packaging and in a nice bowl or a nice container that's clear glass and labeled.
Yes.
And I think that is like, kind of like you're creating a store in your house.
Yes, that's
and exactly. It's so organizing, and you feel a sigh of relief that you don't have to open a little box. It's an ugly box. And, you know, even if we take the extra time to once we shop and we unpack everything, why not take the packaging off so it looks better?
Well, that's exactly what I do, you know, going back to the Costco stuff. You know how they package everything is in a big cardboard box. You know, the thing to keep in mind is when you come home, be methodical and break down that box and take everything out of the box and place them in the storage areas that you have, that are appropriate. 'Cause like recently I bought yogurt cups for my daughter. Mm-hmm. And I designated an area in my fridge for just the yogurt cups, and I organized them in there. And,
okay.
You know, and I like, you know, sparkling flavor water. I utilize the part in the fridge. Luckily, my fridge doesn't have that much food in there. So, so I have space to put things kind of like a grab and a go way. Like, you know, think about 7-Eleven where you want to grab a drink and go.
Okay. Smart.
I like my drinks to be cold. I used to keep them in the garage, but then I had to always put them in the fridge. So I designate an area. You know, think about your life and what you use more and do it like that. It's not cookie cutter. Just because somebody else has it, has their fridge a certain way, doesn't mean you have to have it that way too. Sure. So I do stuff that makes my life happier. So I put all my, you know, drinks that I always like to grab in order in there. You know, the snacks. Like, basically, once you know the kind of snacks you want, you know, get the storage container to put them in. And my favorite storage containers is the OXO Pop container.
Yes, okay.
When I got married back in 2011, I registered for it. And they were, like, one of the best registry items that I got. I got the starter box, so it had, like, a little bit of everything, different sizes. And then they sell the individual ones. So later, you know, as you need them, you can go and buy the one that you need. Okay. And I like to use the big ones to store my flour. I hated keeping flour in its own little
bag
pouch because it always spills.
Yes, it spills. It's not a good look anyway.
No. And then when you want to bake, it's cumbersome. And then half of it spills when you're putting your measuring cup in there.
Right.
You know, that's stuff that's
and
useful.
And I feel like the paper could just break in the middle of it and it all just get everywhere and there's a mess.
Plus, you know, you don't want air to touch a lot of food. And the cool thing about the pop containers, what gives it that pop is that little button on top. It kind of makes a little seal so that air doesn't go in.
It protects it. Okay, good. So
it's good
like
for
flour and sugar.
Flour, sugar, and, you know, other types of materials are good for that.
Okay.
And then IKEA is also kind of like a understated heaven for organization.
Okay.
They have everything you need and not so expensive. I get their cereal containers.
Okay.
I love to see cereal.
Yeah.
I love to see everything.
Not in the box.
Yeah, not in the box. What I do is I get as many cereal things, and I have a variety of cereal. So I get as many that I have the variety of, and I pour it out of the box in there. And that way you see what you have.
Yes.
And then even if it's a little, even if the box is the big box, you can keep the box, you know, somewhere else and then refill it accordingly.
Yeah. I always feel like when you see it that way, you actually want to eat it more.
That's nature. As if you see it, you use it. If it's hidden away, you forget. Like, if you don't see it, you forget that you have it, basically. That's how I am.
Okay. What other types of organizations tips can we incorporate in our homes?
Well, one good thing would be if you have school, I mean, if you have children, you know, me and you, we have like a 5-year-old kindergartner.
Yeah.
So their needs have changed since they were babies and toddlers.
Yes.
So, you know, my daughter just started TK, and I'm noticing that her teacher is giving her little assignments and things to do and books to read. So it's really good to create a little corner either in their room. Actually, I don't even recommend in their room at this age, The room can be a good place to store stuff, but you can have an area designated in your home, like your kitchen table or kitchen counter, depending on where you are more. And they can work on their projects there while you're doing stuff in the kitchen, or you can sit next to them. But in their room, you can create an area for their books, an area to keep their art supplies and other tools, you know, and somewhere comfortable to sit. And then, you know, with their clothes, my favorite designer to consult is Marie Kondo.
Oh, yes. Which very popular. Yes.
And she came up with a really cool way of folding clothes where when you open the drawer, you see everything you have, because basically you fold everything into the same square shape, like think shirts, and then store them stacked vertically. So when you open the drawer, all the shirts, you see what shirts you have, so you could pick it very quickly. And that's very important, you know, on school days when you want to get out of the house, and if you didn't lay them out the night before, you can really quick see what do they have, take it out.
That's good. Like, some stores do that. Like, I don't know why my brain went directly to Victoria's Secret bras.
Well, because,
you know, they have those drawers that pull out, and then everything's facing forward, and you see all of the different colors and sizes in order.
Yes.
You know, so folding it that way. And I actually pack that way because it saves space. It's like... And then you kind of roll, you could roll it after you fold in, maybe, you know, less wrinkles and more space. And it's, I think, considered like the military way of packing.
Actually, I implemented that a few times when I traveled, and the rolling method did save a lot of space. It was very surprising.
Versus just laying your folded item on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, then you're busy every morning or night just going through it, unfolding some of it, and it becoming messy. So yeah, that's a good thing to do. I think I'm gonna do that. I think I need a lot more focus on how to redo my daughter's room, because right now there's lots of bins that are clear, like those Rubbermaid bins. They're not hideous. They're the updated ones, but still they're stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, there's one for all her linens, a couple different ones for her toys. Toys are, you know, separated by type of toys. So there's, you know, her slime and her Play-Doh and her other stuff that's messy is in one.
Yes.
Her Barbies are in another, you know, so it's, and then the books, you know, are actually I repurposed her Barbie house. It's actually a bookshelf.
Okay.
Yeah. Because she doesn't really play in the Barbie house as much as she plays with Barbies just in the center of her room on the floor. So I just put all of her books there, and it can get forgotten. And then the bins are hard to move and move around with, because you have to take one off
it's
on top of
sometimes
the other.
When you have bins stacked upon each other, but they're not long-term storage, there's stuff that you need right away. Ease of usage is very important, because a lot of times it's very discouraging to think about having to lift heavy bins to take something out of like the third bin.
Right.
You know? So it's good to think about, maybe if you have the space, if you're still going to use the bin aspect, if that's the best thing that works, get a shelf that each bin rests on its own shelf. That way, you don't have to disturb the other bin when you're pulling one out. And, you know, aesthetically, it's a little bit more pleasing. But if you don't have that function, you know, it depends on how much you're willing to invest in the home. If you want, like, California Closets is really good at home organization. If you want to add a little value to the home, you can do closet customization.
Okay.
Where you can incorporate, you know, drawers and shelves in there. Maybe even change the door, like, instead of it sliding, have it be a full open door or a curtain, depending on your aesthetic. That way, if you see everything, then it's easier to put stuff away. It's more visually pleasing, and it's easier to grab stuff that you need.
Yeah.
But that's mostly for clothes and kind of long-term storage that is not extreme. Another thing is you know, like IKEA has great shelving units that have doors that you can repurpose them for necessary things like school supplies, art supplies, all neatly, you know, shelved in. And then Target has really good plastic bins that are stylish that you can put. I like, instead of putting stuff that are little or stuff that are related loosely on the shelf, mm-hmm. I like to put them on a bin, especially if they're in the upper shelf that's hard to grab. That way, all you do is grab the bin, take what you need, and put the bin back.
Okay.
And then the cool thing is you can get a lovely P-Touch label maker and print out a very perfectly, you know, typed out label on top of, in front of the bin. You can either tape it directly to the bin, or you can make a cute little hang tag and tape it on that if there's like a handle to put it on. And then that way you see everything that you need, but it's not visually cluttered.
Yes.
Looking. That you can implement that function in the pantry. You can implement that in your home office. And you can implement that in the bathroom
mm-hmm.
or in your own closet, you know, for your nail polishes, for your sunglass collection, mm-hmm. your scarves, anything you need. And again, that comes back to inventory. Write down everything you need for that room that you're tackling at the time and get the storage appropriate for your sorted inventory.
Okay. And then what would be the next step after having an inventory of everything?
Well, that's when you would, you know, devise a plan of what's going to go in bins, what's going to go on shelves, what's going to go in drawers.
Okay. And whenever I take an inventory, I like to clean out the things I don't need.
Important to take that moment that you're already clearing stuff out is to think twice and discard what you don't need, donate what you don't need. You know, the cool thing I love to do is to create, you know, piles or get unused bins mm-hmm. and label each one, like keep, toss, donate.
Okay.
And then, you know, lay them out in the room and just, you know, dump everything in the appropriate bin.
Okay.
And then that way you'll see, you know, what you want to keep, what you don't want to keep. And then in the keep pile, just go one more time again and just make sure that that's stuff that you want to keep.
That's always the hardest part for me because I'm pretty emotional and I keep things for, sentimental value and I can't let it go. If somebody special gave it to me, I don't get rid of it or, you know, maybe I think that's also the hardest step in the Marie Kondo method with discarding things that you don't need.
Well, one thing I love about her method is, compared to a lot of other methods that I've learned, hers kind of stuck with me. It kind of changed my brain a little bit.
What is it exactly?
Well, the cool thing about her, one thing that I remember is when you are ready to start your organization, take everything out. And everything that is in this case, let's say clothes. So all of your clothes, take them out of the closet, even if you're keeping them. And everywhere around the house, if it's your clothes, like your jackets, your shoes, like in the coat closet, take those out and everything, put it in a pile on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then mindfully, you know, go through the pile. And what she does is, you know, you have to thank the clothes, like the one that you want to donate or toss, you thank it. And then you put it in the thing.
You think the actual item. Like,
And the fun, like, it's kind of funny when you think about it, but it makes a lot of sense because it kind of gives you a little bit of closure.
Yes.
You know, think of it as like a person. Like, gives you a little bit of closure. Like, thank you. You served a great purpose. I had a lot of memories with you.
Yes.
But now you can, you know, create memories with somebody else.
Okay.
You know.
That's good. I have to be honest. I didn't read the book see the show, but I kind of know.
Accept and release.
Okay.
Another thing, let me see if I can remember. When she's folding the clothes, she's also mindful of the clothes. She doesn't want the clothes to be stressed out.
Okay.
So one funny thing is a lot of people typically take their socks and they put them in a little ball.
Right.
She basically thinks that if you do it like that, clothes are stressed out. Why? Because they're stretched. They're getting stretched. So what you do is when you take the socks, you know, take the two matching pair of socks, make them flat in the best shape that you can of the sock on top of each other, and then roll it up. Then after you rolled all your socks, put them in a little box and put that box in the drawer.
Okay.
And if you don't have a box, another thing that she says is be mindful of if you have any packaging that you like the shape of the box and, you know, it's clean, it's compact, it's rigid, use that temporarily for the storage. And then once...
Like a cute shoebox.
Yeah, a cute shoebox. Okay. I recommend doing these things in a non-moisture area. So not the bathroom, really, but the closets or office or kitchen. Organize everything in those appropriate boxes. Put it in the drawer. Then after a point when you're done, that's when you know what size bins you need to replace those boxes in the drawer. Or if the box is actually aesthetically pleasing and you like it, then you don't really need to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like a cardboard, you know, you want it to be visually...
If it's like an Amazon box.
Yeah, an Amazon box or something, or a mismatched color bunch of boxes. That's going to be visually cluttered, and I'm not a fan of just random stuff.
Okay, I think that's a great tip. I think I'll do that when I get home.
Yeah, so from now on, it's good to think about what you throw away. Like those, just save a couple boxes temporarily to see if it fits. And then if you don't need it, then that's when you can discard them.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And then one other thing I had to ask you was how do we organize things in the bathroom in the best way? We talked about the kitchen, a kid's room. Our living spaces, like the living room, is mainly, you know, decorative unless you're watching TV and there's, you know, a couch and a TV. But the bathroom is also something that we could tackle. Well, I use baskets a lot, but I feel like I might be dating my bathroom.
Well, I personally am not a fan of visual clutter. And I know a lot of bathrooms, when you walk in there, like, I'm not talking about powder rooms, but, you know, the bathroom that you use, your master or main bathroom, you know, a lot of people have all their stuff on the shelf. But if you have the storage cabinet, if you do have it, I'm saying, you know, again, use bins. Because one thing about the storage cabinets is if stuff goes too deep in the back, you forget you have it. Mm-hmm. So again, think about the space that you have and then get the types of bins that fit in there and then organize it by like items. And then the only thing that you can keep out, obviously, could probably be your toothbrush and maybe some, you know, toiletries that you use often.
Okay.
Not every toiletry, but like, let's say toner or your washcloths and stuff, your face wash or something.
Okay.
But then the other stuff like your roll-on, your hair gel, your brush, everything can go in a drawer.
Okay.
Your hair dryer. The cool thing, some cabinets have a holster for your hair dryer. Mm-hmm. Or you can always buy from Home Depot or Lowe's or Target those things that you can like kind of screw onto the door or something to house it.
Yes. Okay.
You can do pull out drawers, pull out baskets. That in the kitchen too. You could do that in the kitchen for like your trash can or something.
Okay.
What else? I have a little box on top of the toilet tank for extra toilet paper.
Okay.
But again, it depends on the floor plan layout of your bathroom, what fits better.
Right.
You know, and what kind of vanity that you have. Because most houses have the cabinet, so that's why I recommend the bin. But if you have the drawers, that's more useful because when you pull out the drawers, then you see everything.
Yes, I like drawers.
When I remodeled the guest bathroom upstairs, we used to have your basic cabinet. So I changed it and I bought something that looks like a dresser, and it made my life a lot easier because that my daughter uses that room. So you pull out, you open the drawer and you see all her hair stuff and you know, things
it's better
that
to compartmentalize that, or you know, the word for putting everything.
Compartments.
Yes, for compartments. Yeah. But also, yeah. Because right now I have such a small restroom. I actually went and I think it's from Bed Bath & Beyond. And it's just the shelving that you put above the toilet.
Yeah.
And so there's three levels. And ideally, I'd like to use that for decoration or like a candle here or there.
Yeah.
But it's just because the cabinet is so small, I have to have baskets there with some toiletries in it.
Well, one thing about decoration is a lot of times it's not useful. Like, if you're never going to light that candle, then really there's no point in putting it there.
Right. Okay.
I know it's visually nice, but that's prime real estate in the bathroom, especially if it's a small bathroom. Don't put useless things. But,
sure. Okay.
But doesn't mean that the stuff that you do use has to be aesthetically displeasing. Mm-hmm. You can put, you know, like what I like to do is I like to have nice containers for my cotton and my, you know, Q-tips and stuff. So that can be part of the visual. Like, make your bathroom feel like a spa.
Okay, like some glass jars of
the cotton. And let me tell you, if you do like the candle look, don't put it in the place where you would put storage. Like, you can put that on a decorative, you know, shelf that is nearby. Like, on the wall above the towels or something.
Okay.
I kind of don't recommend flame candles anymore because that's kind of dangerous. But, you know, there's a lot of other stuff
maybe
you can
put. Maybe incense or something.
Yeah, you put incense. You can put, you know,
potpourri.
Well, potpourri, I'm not a fan because it gets dusty and it's very dated.
Yeah.
But there are things now that have a good smell, but they're not like that. I can't think of it right. Oh, like soaps. You can put soaps. Okay. You can put certain oils with those sticks. Those work.
That's good.
I'm not quite a fan of those Glade plug-in things because I feel like, first of all, they go out of scent in like 2 seconds or they're really intense and then they occupy your plug.
And they don't look cute.
They don't. They're like sticking out two feet. Well, I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
About 2 feet.
They
but,
become more and more, you know, small, but it's still, I haven't yet found, maybe because I went through them all, I haven't found a scent that I actually enjoy versus the soap and the candles that I buy.
You know,
so
that,
I stopped buying Glade.
That also becomes another form of clutter.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extra contraption that is stuck to the wall and
it's a gadget.
And it's sticking out 2 feet, literally, it seems. Like, I've seen some people put it in their hallway. It's like, you're going to knock into it.
Yes.
You know? And it's electric. Like, why do you have this?
Yes. It doesn't, and to me, it's like, it doesn't even smell that great.
Now, one thing that I love now are those diffusers. I mean, some of them are battery, some of them you plug in, but they kind of have that zen look. I forget the name of the store in the mall, but, you know, it has that little thing, in, like, teardrop shaped, and you can put it on the table, and it smells nice. I don't have those, because I can't decide which one I want or what, but I always like the look of those, if you're going to have that.
Yeah, I like diffusers, like with the oils. Now essential oils are really in.
Yes.
So that you could use topically or, you know, just in your home to create a nice ambiance of sweet smells.
Yeah.
Or if you're sick and you want to put, you know, eucalyptus on or lavender to relax.
Yes.
I like that look. And at first there were like the incense, like the Asian type style ones, but now there's all different kinds.
Yeah, I've seen those, like, you know, nice vials that have those sticks with the oil in them. Some of them have, like, a little flower shape made out of, like, some kind of soft wood material. I don't remember what it's called, or, like, a pithy material.
Yeah.
And Home Goods has, like, a whole section of the candles and
Home
stuff.
Goods.
It's right next to the candles.
They
have some
Home
pretty...
Goods.
Those make the bathroom look nice. I think that's the new version of potpourri. Potpourri in general is like very 80s and after a while it gets dusty looking. And then if you put it in a glass thing with a lid, then it defeats the purpose.
Yes, you can't smell it.
So stay away from potpourri.
Okay.
And then if you have cats or something, like they'll eat, dogs or whatever will eat it.
They'll eat it, yeah.
So,
That's great. That's a good tip.
Or if you do want to have the potpourri concept, there's other stuff that you can put that has a scent, like soap, like I said, going back to soaps. But again, that's more clutter that gets dusty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, all great tips, Shiva. Thank you so much for bestowing us your knowledge that you've given so much.
We can cover
tips.
There's so much we can cover that won't fit into the show timing. But if there's any questions, feel free to contact me on Facebook. I can answer any questions that you have. You can visit my page, Shiva Design Consulting.
Okay.
Or if you're on The Enraged Woman, I'm there all the time. I'm there all the time posting memes or whatever. Okay. Just message me. I can answer anything that you would like.
Great. That's great. And so you do have Instagram page.
Yes. I have Instagram also. It's Living Canvas Designs.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. one I follow, and I love all your posts.
Thank you.
It's very good to see in my feed. It gives me a rejuvenation of wanting to organize and make my space more beautiful when I randomly see everybody posting selfies.
Well, thanks. And my place isn't perfect. A lot of times the person doing the designing always doesn't have the perfect space, but they try, because that's because they're thinking of everything and they can't implement it, but they can always implement it for other people, because you're thinking objectively.
Yeah, very good. So then I'll have you over.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Shiva, and thank you, listeners, for joining us for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe and follow the podcast. There will be new episodes published every Thursday. Go on to Spotify or Anchor Podcast to listen, and make sure that you follow our Instagram page, which is at Lipstick Laughs Podcast. And make sure you do your millennial duty and spread the word about our podcast to all of your friends and family and coworkers and colleagues. We really want a lot of listeners, and we want to create a good community for everyone. If you have suggestions on topics to cover, if you want to talk about lipstick, if you want to just have some laughs, make sure to, communicate with us, and we will be sure to give you a great show. Well, until next time, thank you very much. Mwah.
This has been Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. If you'd like to be featured on our podcast, please reach out to us at lipstickandlaughspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week.